podcasting brought to you by New Constructs, an independent investment research firm committed to helping our clients invest wisely and confidently. Visit newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer, CEO of New Constructs, and today I'm going to give you a pair trading idea that I believe to be one of the best you'll find in 2015. First, I want to remind people how to access our research, www.newconstructs.com. The highest quality research you're going to find when it comes to understanding profitability and valuation. If you don't believe me, look us up on Barron's, where we've been featured over 10 times or about 10 times in the last 12 months. USA Today features our research frequently as well. Multiple media outlets, they refer to us as the experts on profitability and valuation, and a lot of that is because of our discounted cash flow analysis, which will play a big role of what I'm going to talk about later today is. But again, follow us on Twitter, contact us anytime, any place, anywhere on the internet, Facebook, LinkedIn, we're there for you to give you access to the information you need to make an informed decision, not a momentum-based decision, not a sentiment-based decision, not a buy, sell type decision. These are real solid investment decisions that you can feel good about. When you tell your children about them, when you go to sleep at night, you know you've done your homework, and we think that's what makes investing fun. That's what makes investing profitable over the long term. And let's face it, it's not fun if we're not making money over the long term. To that point, I want to talk to you about this pair trade. Go long Cisco and sell Netflix. We wrote about both of these stocks in November on the blog, pointed out both of them as good investment ideas, Cisco to be long and Netflix, of course, to sell or to be short. Now, when we wrote about Cisco, it was $27, and that's what it was trading at yesterday. Of course, if you're paying attention, you know that today it's up almost, 10%, right? Because of what we wrote in our blog effectively came true. First of all, we pointed out that Cisco was a high return on invested capital business. Management had made smart decisions about how to allocate capital consistently over the long term. And despite many acquisitions, as you guys listened to me yesterday, you know that I don't always like acquisitions. Very few companies do them well. Cisco has been able to do them well. They've been able to make enough cash flow from the capital they invest in buying other companies to still maintain high returns on capital. That's good management. The key element here, though, is still valuation. You can be a great company, but not necessarily a great stock, because the valuation of the stock implies that you're going to be greater than you already are, right? So you got to find valuation where expectations are low, where market expectations are low, especially, and most importantly, lower than where we believe they ought to be as investors. And sometimes this is easy. And with Cisco, it is easy, because expectations at $27 a share, yesterday's closing price, are for no future profit growth from the company ever again. The existing business has no profit growth. That's what the current stock price, or that's what the $27 stock price implied. That means the price to economic book value ratio for Cisco was 1.0, right? That means that the current stock price equals the economic book value. Economic book value is equal to the no growth value of the business. We calculate that simply by dividing NOPAT by weighted average cost of capital and adjusting for cash, debt, options, pensions, non-operating assets, deferred tax assets, compensation, liabilities, and assets, all the things that you need to add or subtract to understand the true underlying shareholder value of the business based on the existing cash flows alone. So the economic book value of Cisco is $27. The current stock price is $27. That means the market believes Cisco's profits were never going to grow over and above where they have been in the last, over the last trailing 12 months. We think those are low expectations, very low expectations for a company that has such high returns on invested capital. But what's most important here is the risk reward is good. Cisco got an attractive rating, not just because of its high returns on invested capital, high quality of earnings, free cash flow yield of something like, 8%, which is pretty huge. And so what you're talking about here is a profitable company trading at a nice discount to really what I would say would be fair value. To give you a sense of what kind of upside we're talking about here, even if they grow NOPAT by just 5% for a decade, stock's worth $33 a share. They can grow NOPAT by 10% for a decade, it's $41 a share. Those are big numbers, right? That's the value of our discounted cash flow model. We can be precise about what the stock is worth if you believe in a certain set of growth parameters. And in my opinion, there's no really better way to look at valuation than to use a discounted cash flow model to understand the implications of your target price and understand them with discrete detail. No assumptions buried in there, no perpetual growth rates buried in there, no funky numbers that make everything add up right. No, this is just doing your real, true homework on understanding what a stock price implies. Now let's flip the script and talk about Netflix. The big issue with Netflix that I really want to, you know, and I've talked about that a lot recently, and we did actually a webinar yesterday on, or a couple days ago, on how to use our discounted cash flow model to understand exactly how overvalued Netflix is. Now, I started out talking to Cisco about high returns on capital. Netflix does not have high returns on capital. They have very poor quality earnings, and there are a lot of things that are going on in those numbers that really aren't so good in terms of what people understand about the stock. 10% return on invested capital, which is not very strong. We think they're going to be coming under intense pricing pressure because there's so much competition in the business. And so we don't believe that return on invested capital is going to stick. I think they had a big jump in their pre-tax margin last year, profit margin, their overall profit margins. I don't think that that's going to be able to stick. And I'm going to give you some reasons for that in a second. But first, let's talk about what the current valuation implies, right? The current stock price of around $450 effectively implies that the company is going to have 2.3 billion subscribers. That's what $450 implies. And that's assuming that they maintain their status quo in terms of their profit margin, which again is a big jump in the last fiscal year, much higher, and a monthly subscription price of $8 per subscriber. Right, so that's what they got to do in order to justify the current stock price, or $450. If we assume that the price is able, they're able to triple their price and double their margin, pretty big assumptions. Able to triple their price and double their margin, they still have to have 122 million subscribers, or more than twice what they have today. They have about 57 million subscribers. This current stock price still implies huge amount of growth in subscribers, whether you want to assume they're going to be able to make more money per subscriber or not. The point is, this valuation here is, I would say, beyond nosebleed. And that kind of gets back to the risk-reward here. With Cisco, you had a valuation that implied no future profit growth. With Netflix, you've got pretty ridiculous future profit growth. I mean, when it comes to profits, what the price implies is 20% compounded annual growth for something like 20 years, all right? So that's a big number. Those are really high expectations. That's bad risk reward. Good risk reward is Cisco. Now let's talk about a new data point for Netflix. I've beaten the dead horse here, I think, in terms of valuation for Netflix. But I want you to know that there are tutorials and webinars on our blog that explain to you exactly how we arrive at these numbers. So you can go back and check them yourself to get a sense of, you know, how we actually do this kind of work. But a new data point that came out on Netflix yesterday was Target getting out of the online videos business. They'd started getting into that business, a year or so ago because they wanted to compete with Amazon more directly. And they felt like they needed to. But they had to get out of it because they weren't making any money on it. Same reason they got out of Canada. It wasn't working. The new CEO said, look, we need to be careful with our resources. We can't go out investing in everything. If we're not earning adequate returns or don't have an expectation to earn adequate returns on capital in these businesses, we need to get out. That's smart. But what it points out is that this online video streaming content stuff is competitive. And when you got Amazon competing, and we know, by the way, and we've written about this with Amazon, they don't care much about profits. They never have. They've consistently talked about lowering their profit margins and not making as much money, whether it's to spend more in advertising or to keep prices low for customers. They care about market share. And guess who one of Netflix's biggest competitors is now? Amazon. It's a race to the bottom in streaming content, folks. A race to the bottom in terms of margins and prices. And it's not just Amazon that's competing with Netflix. You've got HBO, you've got other content providers like Hulu, and you've got other content creators in the business that are better at it. And so, anyway, point is, look, if they're able to maintain margins as they are today, which I don't think they're going to be able to do, and that means maintain their pricing strategy, which, by the way, they're not really being very successful with that in Europe, right? The margins in Europe are negative and getting more negative, right? So all this growth they're talking about internationally, it's not value accretive, folks. It's growth to the top line, but not on the bottom line that matters, right? And we also point out in our article that content costs are growing much faster than revenues, and that's a trend that's not going to end. So point is, business model is under siege. No real long-term competitive advantage. Always had low returns on invested capital. Probably always will. Tell me what the competitive advantage that Netflix has is. I beg you. And then tell me if it's big enough to justify the valuation. I could be wrong about their competitive advantage, but I tell you what I'm not wrong about. I'm not wrong about the fact that they're not going to meet the expectations in the stock price. 20% compounded annual profit growth for 20 years. In other words, they have to grow to 2.3 billion subscribers over the next 20 years. The world population is about 7 billion. That means they have pretty good market share. Does anyone have that kind of market share? You know, and so anyway, I think I made the point. And one of the key things to keep in mind is, in terms of this pair trade, let's focus on a good stock like Cisco. Low expectations, and you're seeing the stock jump big time today. Once been a sleepy stock and a somewhat sleepy business, you know what? I'll take that, because that's good risk reward. They're not going to get blown out of the water any day or any time in particular because someone in their basement wrote a piece of code that makes what they do obsolete. So be long Cisco and avoid Netflix. Thank you very much.